Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
But let's just go to the first chapter there and read a little bit. I'm just going to begin reading there, but I would like to go over to the churches where it's speaking to them. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, also am your brother, and come companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, which is in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which is in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I'm going to stop right there for a moment. We'll pick back up in verse 12 and read just a little bit more. I wanted to comment just a little bit on a couple things. See, when you get into the book of Revelation, you start reading. We got to start understanding that many times people make the mistake, even though there is some chronological order in the book of Revelation. And see, many times people will bring the book of Revelation and they say, well, this is the ending of all things. Now, we could read it in a dimension as a man, and we could read it within a dimension of a churches that do run in a chronological order when we say the seven churches. We're going to go on and possibly read some more. We may not. It just depends on how the Lord would lead us to go this morning. But if we go on in reading, it goes over and it talks about the seven spirits of God. You know, and some people would say, well, there's one God, one faith, one baptism. You know, why would we say seven spirits of God? Well, when we have the seven churches, and we were reading right here, and it talks about the seven churches, and it goes on speaking there, it talks about these seven churches, and then it goes on and talks about the candlesticks. Maybe we'll read on a little bit more, because it lay a little bit of a foundation is, but I wanted to say before we go on in reading this, that when we read these things, we need to sometimes allow the Spirit of God to help us to understand. And I'm going to use an example here of when a man came to me in the hospital not long back. And it was a husband and wife, and their son was dying there within the hospital. And he did pass away the very next day that I was there. But this man came to me and he said, we had a visitation from an angel of the Lord. And he said, do you believe in that? And I said, well, sure, I believe in that. But I'm using this as an example as we read on here, because sometimes we have peculiar ideas. And the Bible says here again that he was and is to come. And we read that over when I was reading about these beasts around the throne. They're saying the same thing. It said he was and is to come. And this is where many people miss God. Because as I spoke here just a moment ago, I said many people are looking at God as a great historian and looking back at a history of him. Of him coming to this earth and again dying and resurrecting for us. And they speak about the great things that God done when he was here. And then many times people are standing looking off into the distant future saying, praise God, he's coming. And many times we miss the coming of the Lord on a daily basis. Now back to this man that says to me, he says, you know, we believe that it was an angel that visited us. And he said, do you believe that? And I said, sure I do. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, as we read right here, it speaks about the witnesses and a cloud of witnesses. The thing is we go back into the Old Testament and we see him appearing in a cloud, and he leads the people out of bondage of Egypt, and he leads them by day in a cloud and by night as a pillar of fire. So we see and we can understand this witness coming in a cloud. And then when we think, brothers and sisters, in this present day, and we think of this body being made up by water, the Bible said that we're surpassed around by a great cloud of witnesses, it speaks in Hebrews. You know, when we think of a great cloud of witnesses, I will say this, there is a very active spirit world around about it. You see, if your eyes would be changed to discernment in the spirit with the eyesight, you would see that there's spirits all around about you. The Bible teaches us very clear about that. The Bible said when we take authority over even Satan and we cast him out of an individual, it says it'll leave and go out in the dry places, seeking a place of inhabitation. And if you could just see that there is a spirit world that is so much more active all around about you of spirits than this world that you see with your eye. Now you can have your eyes quickened to see into this spirit realm. Again, as this man said to me, do you believe that this was an angel that came? Or do you believe in these angels? And I say, yes, I do. And this is the explanation, and I've said this from the sacred desk before. The thing is, brothers and sisters, the Bible says that the ministers of God are the avengers of God. The Bible said it's no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking through him. This has to do with the angels, brothers and sisters. The Bible said, beware when you entertain strangers unaware, because you could be entertaining angels. The Bible says, what you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you do unto him. Now the thing is, see, we need to change the way our thinking into this present time and thinking about these angels of the Lord. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, if what I do to the least of you, my brethren, his brethren, is what I do unto the Lord. He said, I was in the hospital and you visited me not. I was in prison, you visited me. I said, well, when were you in the hospital? When you were in prison? That's when he said, what you do the least. You see, brothers and sisters, when we are full of the Holy Ghost, that's the angel of the Lord. It is dwelling within us. It's in a many-membered body. And what we do to one another, brothers, is what we do is unto the Lord. When two or three come together in the midst, the Lord is present, brothers and sisters, because the angel of the Lord is dwelling in. And this is where people have a problem. When Jesus walked among them, he said to him, he said, you know, greater things shall you do than even what I have done. And I was talking with a minister the other day, and he said, man, I just don't understand that at all. He says, man, I have a real problem with that. You know, he raised the dead. He made the lame to walk. He done all these great miracles. And here he says, greater things we do. And he says, I don't see it. And I said, I do. You know, not being overconfident, brothers and sisters. Not being some kind of arrogant in my Christianity. I have humility. You know, as we go on speaking of this very same thing, as John and one comes and falls before him, he says, hey, don't do this. Don't worship me. But it was the same spirit that was coming forth through him, and they wanted to fall down before him. And the thing is, it's the same thing in the present. I've known great men of God that walked in such great places that men would want to fall down before them. And they say, hey, look, I'm the least of any of you, man. It's just the spirit of this God and this power that's dwelling within me. Amen? And it's no different. You see, when the minister speaks, there's no difference. You know, he's given us the power to remit sin. And you say, oh, man, that's blasphemy. And that's what they said to Jesus. When he said, take up thy bed and walk in your sins and forgive. He said, you can't forgive sins. He said, all power and authority has been given unto me. And he's given it unto us. If you go and read in the book of Acts and in Matthew, makes it very clear. He said, ye go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sin. As he gave us that authority and power, the sons of God. You see, but people, they draw back. And this is why they're not going forth as conquerors and not doing the things, because they've denied what God has really done for them. But as this minister said, what are these great things? How can we do greater things? Brothers and sisters, you got to understand that the dimension that Jesus came and fulfilled. You see, the church began after his crucifixion and his resurrection. So then what the church is different than what he was walking. He came to fulfill the law. He came, brothers and sisters, as that and walked among the scribes and the Pharisees, and came to fulfill the law. And this is what he came to do. And when he done away with, you see, in the resurrection, he's different. We're not to know him in that image that he came in. We're not to know him in that image of the man with the long hair. You see, the Bible says in our teaching of the New Testament, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And you say, well, why did Jesus have long hair? It's a shame. Because he came to fulfill that. He came in the image of sin, is what the Bible teaches us. And he came and took that image to the cross of Calvary and had it crucified and was buried. But when he resurrected, the ones that walked with him every day didn't even recognize him, because he appeared in another form, brothers and sisters, according to the scriptures and the word of God. So what greater things can we do, brothers and sisters? Well, let's talk about even the 10 lepers that he healed. How many of them came back and worshipped him? How many came and followed him? What good is it if you open up a man's blinded eyes in this earth and he goes and lusts after women and goes out? What good is it when you make a man that's lame, that can't walk, and you raise him up and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, rise up and walk, as Peter did at the gate called Beautiful. So then a man rises up and walks and says, man, praise God, how awesome is it? Man, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And a man walks out in the nightclubs and dances and frolics and goes down. to hell. Boy, you're such a great man. And maybe when the Bible said, if your hand offends you, to pluck it off, and you'd be better to inherit the kingdom of God maimed as going into hell with all of your limbs or whatever. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. You see, brothers and sisters, we need to start thinking in the mind of God. You see, he would rather see a man in a wheelchair, brothers and sisters, and going through life in a wheelchair, if that brings humility unto him to honor and to serve God. There's blind people in this earth that walk with a cane, but they have vision into the heavenlies because they have a relationship with God. And God has opened up their eyes to see into the spiritual realm. And they have a worship and a praise with him. And there's people with 20/20 vision that are seeing and lusting and going after the things of the world and find themselves busting hell wide open. Why do we put so much emphasis on eyesight and ear and hearing and all those things in the natural when it should be in the spiritual? As I told this minister, I said, now you can start to understand the greater things that we do. You see, because we've been filled with his power and understand this dispensation that we walk in, and we understand that there's people that are among us. And Jesus said, he said, though you have eyes, you do not see. Though you have ears, you do not hear. Even though they were looking and beholding him and hearing what he said. But see, he was speaking about spiritual eyesight. And this is what he has given us as the sons of God and the ministers of God and the children of God. That we go forth in this power and we take and bring the shucks off of people's eyes. Has nothing to do with that eyesight. You can take a track runner and he could outrun anybody in this church and he's on his way to hell. But then yet you could take and bring the word of God and get him to walk in the spirit. And teach him to gird up his loins like a man and to walk in the spirit and start fighting and warn against principalities and powers that are destroying him. Then you've done something, brothers and sisters, that'll bring honor to you and through all the worlds to come. When you save a soul from hell. You understand that? And when you take a man and get his eyes open or get him walking in the spirit that he could hear and see good when good comes. Faith comes by hearing of this word of God. And there's so many people that are hearing. They sit in churches, but they're not hearing the word of God. And that's why there's no faith. And that's why there's no power of their salvation. And that's why there's no victory in their life, because they don't have ears to hear. They hear preachers, they hear them speaking, they hear teachings, they hear all those things, but they're not hearing the word of God. There's a difference. There's most definitely a difference. Let's read on with some of these thoughts in mind, just for a moment, back to verse 12. It says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, are the angels of the seven churches. Who is that? And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, brothers and sisters, when the Bible talks about the seven spirits of God, which we didn't read that yet, we go on down here and it speaks about the seven spirits of God, and it's on down in a couple chapters. And when I first read that the first time, I thought, well, that just doesn't make sense to me. You see, but when you start differentiating and understanding God and knowing that these seven spirits of God have to do with these seven churches, and we're going to read on just a little bit more and speak about these seven churches and the things that God has witnessed within the seven churches. So oftentimes, when we read these things, we're trying to understand them in an intellectual mind. And it won't happen that way. The Bible said that these things are spiritually discerned. Pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Over in the gifts of God, discernment is one of the gifts of God. You know, and it's all by one and the same spirit, the Bible said. But there's nine gifts, but it's all in one by the same spirit. The gift of healing, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. You know, there's so many gifts, brothers and sisters, faith, miracles. And when we start looking into these, they're all by one and the same spirit. And these seven spirits of God are one in the same spirit, but they're coming to us in these church age messengers. And these messengers brought down through time, brothers and sisters, and you also read in their word talks about the light getting seven times brighter, you know, and at this end time, and it'll consume all things. Now, the thing is, brothers and sisters, we understand that this has to do with the message of Christ that's going in. And it's been through all this dispensation of time as the church or the church ages that this thing has been getting brighter and brighter and brighter. You see, the brightness has to do with an understanding of the mind or the revelation. The Bible says again, you know, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And this mind thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And see, if you go to people in the religious realms and say, you know, praise God, I'm a joint heir with Christ. I've been married unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I become one with Him. I'm joint heirs with Him. He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. He let this mind be in me, and I'm equal with Him. And that's where they draw back. You see, but when naturally speaking, when a man marries a woman, the Bible said, I show you a mystery that when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. And see, people have troubles understanding that. The thing is, brothers and sisters, when I become married unto the Lord Jesus Christ, I become one with Him in this flesh. That means I brought this fleshly image of iniquity, this fallen image of corruption, I've brought it upright into righteousness through the washing and cleansing by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and brought it up into righteousness that it could go before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as that bride that was prepared and it went in before them and brought forth and produces the woman, Bible says, is saved in childbirth. And it brings forth the fruit of the womb in that particular dimension, which is the sons of God. You see, Mary did this. It wasn't a seed of a man that went into Mary to bring forth the Son of God. It was not, but it was an overshadowing of the Holy Ghost, is what the Bible teaches, and she brought forth. And now it's in a different dimension, and we show him the woman. He says, I'm coming back for my bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So we show the woman, and we find that he comes back to the woman and is married unto her. People are waiting for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But see, if we're waiting on this marriage of supper of the Lamb to be some other time, that means there was no marriage, and it would make the Lord Jesus an adulterer. You see, but He's come unto us. We've entered into that secret chamber. That means there had to have been a marriage, because it would be defiled if there wasn't a marriage. We've already married unto Him. He said He's married unto the backslider, taught that very clear in the Old Testament. But when we become married unto Him, you understand that? And we become married and become one with Him. He said, I show you a mystery. And we say in the flesh, this is, means that I bring this into righteousness through Christ. And I bring the invisible things of God, the Father being invisible, into a manifestation right here within a fleshly body that people could see. This is what the importance of Jesus coming to the earth was. You see, God was a spirit. No man has seen. No man has ever seen Him. But when Philip came to Jesus and asked Him, he said, hey, when will we see the Father? And Jesus said what? He said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. And then He goes on speaking about us, that He's within us and we're within Him. You see, brothers, you can't separate that. Now we are the sons of God. Amen. We've been birthed into the kingdom of God. Now we are, brothers and sisters. It's not to say, no, we're going to be someday. We need to know who we are in Christ and start walking in our inheritance now. You know, the thing is this earth isn't ours. The thing is it's Satan. He's the god of this world. We're not supposed to be savoring the things that be of the flesh. We're not supposed to be looking for some sort of a natural kingdom. That's why the Jews missed Him when He was here. Brothers and sisters, we got to know that Jesus is God, and He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our God, our Christ. Amen. There is no other God. He is the one and true God, the only God. Amen. And He has all power and all authority has been given unto Him, and He's given it unto us as His children and heirs to His throne. Amen. And we're married unto Him. There ain't nothing that can pluck you out of the hand of Him. Amen. Now the thing is what we have to do is we start differentiating down through time. And we start understanding the travails and the warfares that are taking place in the soul realm. Because brothers and sisters, that's where the warfare's at. I could take you on over to Revelation 5 and read to you about where the red dragon was there, waiting to devour the child just as soon as it was born. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, and when we start reading these and looking at this, we got to understand and bring it into a present day application. If you're always looking for the history or the future, you've missed the revelation of God. Revelation means the revealing. You see, in everything that we look at and everything that we read, we need to reveal Christ in the present day. Everything that He walked through. If you go into the Gospels and read about the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to see that happening today. And it's happening today. Brothers and sisters, they rejected Him. He is God. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is. And when He was walking with them, He is God. Amen. And they denied Him and rejected Him because they were looking for a natural kingdom and an earthly kingdom. He said, that his kingdom is without observation. It is something in the spirit, brothers and sisters. And now we say the kingdom of God is within. This kingdom is dwelling within us. Now the kingdom of God. So you say, well, I want to see a natural kingdom that we could walk on and we could see him sitting on a throne, this and that. Well, that's the way the Jews thought. And they're going to get that day. But they're going to pay with their own blood to see that day. The blood's going to run through the bridle, according to the scriptures. And they'll see that. And he'll set that up. But see, that's not what he was looking for. He was looking for a spiritual bride. In the perspective he was looking for, that's who we are. The Bible said that we are the spiritual Jew. The natural Jew, they missed it. We didn't miss it. That's why we're a spiritual Jew, because we did not miss it. We did not miss the coming of the Lord. Well, when was the coming of the Lord? Brothers and sisters, there's a daily rapture, a daily catching up. There's a daily. The Bible said, take up your cross daily. Mortify the deeds of your flesh daily. We got to bring everything into a manifest day. Oh man, praise God, Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago. No, praise God that you were crucified today, and that you no longer live, and now it's Christ that lives, and you've been caught up to the throne on a daily basis, praising and worshiping God. Praise God for that daily killing out and mortifying your deeds. Praise God for that daily resurrection. You see, brothers and sisters, we got to speak about what's happening now, what's going on today in our lives. When you walk in gloom and despair and defeat and in sorrows and feeling sorry for yourself and depressions and all those things, you ain't been caught up. It's simply, those things all come with that body of death. And you got to kill that man. Kill him out. You see, man likes themselves. They don't like to kill themselves. Man doesn't like to do that. They want to esteem themselves, glorify themselves. They want the pride of life. And all of the psychologists and psychiatrists are all teaching the same thing. You know, they want self-esteem, self-esteem. You know, let's have Christ esteem. It's a lot different than self-esteem. Self gets in the way. Self will kill you. Man wants to be recognized. Man, praise God. Preachers want to be recognized. Look at me, man. I got great understanding. I'm the man. We can't give preeminence to any but Jesus. Everything, all honor, all power, all glory is his. And if we do any good thing, it all glory goes to him. Because there's no good thing in the flesh. There's none good, not even one. So how can we do a good thing? The good is Christ, amen. And when we die and we get ourself out of the way and let Jesus live, then we could see good things happening. And all glory and honor goes unto him. Now the thing is when I spoke a minute ago about this authority and power has been given unto us. It's been given unto the sons of God. Now the thing is that can I as a man remit sin? And when they come to Jesus, they've come and were taking up stones to stone him. And he said, hey, Jesus asked him, he said, for what good works have I done that you're going to take up stones and stone me? He said, not because of the good works that you've done. It's because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. That's why they wanted to stone him. But see, the thing is Jesus replied to them and said, isn't it also written that ye are gods? Now, the thing is we in the religious realms, we go out here and we say, well, Satan is the god of this world. We call him a god. But when it comes to us as the sons of God, and the children of God. And the Bible teaches us very clear that now we are the sons of God, and you're afraid to speak to anybody that you're a God. You're not a God in your first birth. You were born as a man with the sins of death. Oh, wretched man that you are. Paul made that statement. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who could deliver me from this body of death? But then yet he also declares over there that now he is a son of God. Passed from death unto life. Conquered death and hell and the grave. Amen. That he was eternal. Sealed in. Hid away with Christ. Amen. So what are we doing? We're differentiating. Yes, you as a man, you can't say that you're God. That'd be blaspheming against God. And you'll find yourself in the judgments of a living God. And find yourself in an eternal hell and damnation or death and torment. So you can't say that you're God. But see, I don't speak as a man. I took that man and he was crucified with Christ. And he no longer lives. Go and read it in Galatians, the second chapter. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life that I now live in this flesh, he said, I live by faith in the Son of God. So what kind of life is that? It's the life of Christ. And if you are no longer living, then who's living? It's Christ. Amen? And the thing is you as a man, when you bring offspring into the earth, it's man. You have a son of man. And you have children that are born in iniquity. And they've got a sentence of death laying within them. And it's appointed to all flesh the same way. Corruption. You see, there's no good thing in the flesh. So if we're going to have hope, it's going to be in being born again. And what are we birthed into? We're birthed in the Spirit. Who is our Father? It's God. And what does God beget after His kind? God. Amen? You see, this isn't a popular teaching. People don't like this. They want to run from this kind of stuff. They want to go out the doors. They want to run away and say, man, this is a cult. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If it's expedient that you be born again, the Bible says, you know, that you must be born again. If you was already born as a man, what are you going to be born again as? Surely you're not going to be born again as a man because it's appointed unto man to judgment and it's appointed a man to die. If we're birthed into spirit and we're birthed into life and we're birthed eternally, that we're sealed in and hid away, nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God, then that what is eternal is God. And we're one with Him. The Bible said, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. You see, this shouldn't be offensive. But it's the Catholic Church teachings that's gone down through generations of time that has taught man otherwise. And it's teachings that's infiltrated our Protestant churches the same way. And we've got to get away from false doctrine. We got to get away from religious rambling and doctrines of men. They're sending the ministers to colleges and they're giving them degrees and call them theologians, and they don't simply have the mind of revelation and the mind of God's Word. We got to stay with His Word and what His Word says. And to verify it, you could turn over. I'm not going to go there. Maybe we will. Let's just back up a couple chapters and we're going to come back over here and read some more. But we'll read right here, just a couple pages back from where we're at. Go to 1 John the 3rd chapter. And I'm going to read that and then we'll go on. And it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world, I'm reading in 1 John the 3rd chapter, the first verse. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. This is why they rejected, brothers and sisters, and why they deny that, because they know us not, nor know Him. Amen? Because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him, do we have anybody abiding in Him here? Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. I'm going to stop right there and we're going to read on in just a second. Brothers and sisters, this is why I say that through Catholicism and through doctrines of devils, if we would read on through the book of Revelation, if I read on just a little bit more, talks about these churches and about the things that God's finding fault with them on, and the doctrines and the teachings. I was doing a little bit of reading. Brother Jonathan brought me a little pamphlet on the Nicolaitan doctrine. One, I guess we could say, theologian, maybe we'll use that expression, put down on there, it says that they're make-believing Christians, is what he entitled it as. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good definition. And I know it goes into much deeper than that when you get into some things. We might do some teaching on that sometime. Make-believing Christians. Brothers and sisters, America's full of them. You know, I know it sounds like I'm finding fault or thinking too highly of myself, but I'm just telling you, we just got to open up our eyes and see it's prophesied in the Bible of what the condition of the Laodicean Day church is, this last church. And it tells us very clearly, it said they're blind and they're wretched and they're naked, they're miserable and they're poor. Right before it says all that, it says that they're rich. Yeah, they're rich on the things of this world, but they're poor, brothers and sisters. When it comes to the things of God, they have not inherited anything from God whatsoever. And they're naked and blind. Anytime you find nakedness, means that the wedding garment isn't there. They're not clothed. When that bride was found, was where they're clothed all the way. And when they climbed up another way, they were cast out because they didn't have the wedding garment on. So the thing is we find that in this infiltration in this time, they're teaching us from the churches and from the sacred desk, or we'll call them pulpits, which we don't use that terminology because we're not pulling anybody into a pit. And the Lord suffered that to go that way. But the thing is, they're teaching you that you're sinners and that you sin every day. That's sad. Let's read why it's sad right here. Let's go back right here to the Scriptures. Let the Scriptures speak for themselves. This isn't some doctrine of Rob Coons. This is the Word of God. This isn't some denomination I'm trying to get you to be a member of. I'm just reading the Word of God. Amen. Let's go back right here. It says, verse 6, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him. So if I tell you that you're a sinner and sin every day, I'm going to tell you, number one, you haven't seen God. Neither know Him. And if you don't know Him, the Bible says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. So I'm just telling you, you're lost on your way to hell if I'm telling you you're a sinner. I was a sinner. I was born as a sinner, brothers and sisters, but praise be to God that He opened up my eyes to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I come to know God, and I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old sin nature, the old man has passed away and gone. And when you look at me, you're not looking at me in what I'm going to appear as in Him when He appears, but I'm no less, brothers and sisters, the Son of God. Than He was. He was the firstborn of many brethren. That's what the Bible teaches. Let's read verse 7. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now the thing is if I'm going to teach you that you're a sinner, I got to also teach you that you're of the devil. I'm not of the devil, brothers and sisters. I'm of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. I've been born again. I have a spirit in me crying, Abba, Father. He is my Father. He does not bring forth the devil. You understand that? He brings forth righteousness. as the Son of God. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I want you to hear this. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. How many believe the word? Amen. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Amen. I could go on and bring you some revelation about the next part of it, but we're going to go back over to the book of Revelation. That's just a little side note there. A big side note, maybe we should say amen. We need to know who we are in Christ, brothers and sisters. We need to know what he's done for us. We need to speak those things that are not as if they were. In other words, Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. And our confession needs to be in him. Saying, thank you, God, for delivering me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord God, that you killed out the deeds of my flesh. Thank you, Lord God, for catching me away into heavenly places. Thank you, Lord God, that I'm no longer a sinner. The Bible says that the transgression of the law is sin, and that the sting of sin is death. We find in these scriptures here that I can stand before you and say, I've passed from death unto life. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. How can I say that if I'm a sinner and still in sin? You've got to differentiate yourself just as Jesus did. He was both Son of Man and both Son of God, both Lord and both Christ. You've got to differentiate between yourself as the Son of Man and the Son of God. And the Son of God is the part that's in the Spirit that dwells within you, the invisible part and the power of God, that it fills you full of the power and brings forth the rivers of living water of life. This is the part that empowers you to walk as an overcomer. This is the part that empowers you and keepeth you from sin. This is the part that makes you perfect and upright and righteous before the Lord. You see, my calling as a minister says that the fivefold ministry is sent forth to perfect the saints of God. But how can I perfect the saints of God when he said that he made ye perfect by his works at Calvary? Amen. He has perfected you once and for all, the Bible says. You see, that's the perfection. That part is in the Spirit, and that Spirit dwells within you of all power and authority. The minister's got to call forth those rivers of life, of living water down within, and start calling forth that sonship down within you, that part that's birthed in the Spirit, and start calling it forth and killing out that outer garment of iniquity, killing that old man out of your reasoning, your human reasoning, your ideology, your thoughts, your ways, and kill that out and let the Lord Jesus Christ live, rule, and reign. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters, to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. You say that God grant unto you the spirit of revelation. That's the revealing of Christ in you. Amen. This is what the world is looking for. Amen. The Bible said the same Spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus shall dwell within your mortal body. Amen. And it will raise you up and quicken you. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that the first man Adam was a living soul, and the second man Adam a quickening spirit. Brothers and sisters, that quickening spirit's what's got to come forth. And he has quickened us, brothers and sisters. We are the quickening spirit, and it comes alive. And this old husk, this old outer part, the image of iniquity, the image of sin has got to die out. And the Bible says that light being formed within the darkness. Yes, in your first birth, you are wretched. You're no good. You are a sinner. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. It's a corruptible image. Amen. And it's got to die and be crucified with Christ. And you're going to take that by faith in God to the cross and be crucified with the Lord Jesus. And you're going to let that Spirit of Christ come alive within you. Just like the rock that rolled away from the tomb when Jesus stepped forth in the resurrection. This old hardness of heart and this outer man, this image of iniquity, it's got to cleave back out away, and out steps forth the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. This is bringing it into the second dimension, or the physical realm, or the soul realm. We've seen him fulfill the first. And this is why he said that greater things will we do, is because the thing is we go forth with the authority and the power of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that men could get their eyes open and see good when good comes, that they could be partakers and inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. And be one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we went back over to John 14, and where Philip said to Jesus, he said, well, when will we see the Father? And he says, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. You see, how could he say that? How can you say you have not seen the Father when the Bible said no man has ever seen the Father? Amen. So what we have to do is we start differentiating again and start understanding the things of God and the mind of God. You can go back over into 1 John 3 where I read, and go back two more chapters prior to that. And it says, if you say you have not sinned, you're a liar and deceive yourself. And if you you say you have no sin, you're a liar. And I'm standing before you teaching you that you cannot sin. And it's teaching right two chapters over. What do you have to do? Differentiate. I as a man is sin. I as a man was born into sin, the image of iniquity. I was born into that with a sentence of death, brothers and sisters, appointed to all man to die. The Bible said it's appointed unto man, then the judgment. The Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. When Jesus got out of the boat and walked right off the Sea of Galilee there, or maybe it was up in the Mediterranean Sea where he come off there, I'm not sure. But when he got out, the Spirit came to him and he said, are you here to judge us before our times? This is why the preachers are teaching you in your churches that you can't judge. And they say, oh, you can't judge. That's doctrines of devils. That's a lie. The Word of God says, ye that are spiritual, judge all things. And brothers and sisters, we need to make judgment, because judgment begins in the house of God. And we got to judge the deeds of the flesh and mortify them out and kill them out and call forth the resurrection, the quickening Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you could walk in all authority and power and tread upon the scorpions and the serpents. Amen. Amen. And put those things under your feet. We're more than conquerors, the Bible says, because we're full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. We're the sons of God. He has never left us nor forsaken us. Brothers and sisters, we need to know who we are in Christ and start walking in that place. Amen. And taking place of where we're at and quit walking below the means that He has made for us. I want to get back to some more reading here in the book of Revelation. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, if you back up, and it's very clear here, let me go back to verse 20. It says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in the right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now the thing is, he says he'll remove this. Some say that has to do with that spirit of life. And it is. But where's the spirit of life manifesting at in through the churches? These seven churches, it's bringing forth the seven spirits of God are coming forth through these seven messengers. It would take some time to get into some revelation on some of this, but these seven churches are over. And I know it would be hard to receive that, because you say, well, man, we're part of the church of Christ. You know, man, we're part of this many-membered body. We're part of that church. I came through that church, or I would never have known God. But brothers and sisters, there's a door that's closing of the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of grace is a chronological thing where the blood is on the mercy seat. But you know, the blood has to come off of the mercy seat for God to bring the judgment to this world. People say, well, where is this great God that you serve? You know, if this God is mercy and this God is love and this God is kind, then where is he at? Brothers and sisters, there's a dispensation of grace where that blood's on the seat of atonement. If he brought judgment to the woman that drowns her children, and the man that ravishes the little children, or to the raper, or to the murderer, he brings it to the whole world. So it's the mercies of God, the blood on the mercy seat, that he's holding that back. Because when that man or that woman kills the little child, that little angel's with the presence of the Lord, and it's there with God forever. Amen. But if he stopped that thing, he brought judgment in the perspective of to this world, and then the whole world's going to be judged. And we're coming to that day and hour very quickly. You see, brothers and sisters, we as the sons of God, the Bible said God chastens them that he loves. And for a father to chasten, he's got to judge the deeds of the child. This is why we teach a very clear what the Bible said, ye that are spiritual, judge all things. And the Bible says that judge not lest you be judged in the same manner in which you judge. What that's simply saying, it's not telling you that you can't judge. It's telling you that in the same manner that you judge, that you're going to bring that same judgment on you. If you have mercy, he shows mercy. If you have no mercy, he shows no mercy to you. If you have harsh judgment against your brothers and people, and you have this harsh judgment, God brings harsh judgment on you. It's not telling you not to judge. It's telling you how to judge, is what it's telling you to do. And the Bible said that sin cannot be imputed to you unless there's a knowledge of sin. And the only way a knowledge of sin could come to you is by it being revealed to you. Amen. And the Bible said that judgment begins in the house of God. So the thing is the Bible also says it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Now there will be a judgment when some men die and they throw them in a box out here. There will be judgment to that man. He'll come forth in that judgment. And a second death, the Bible talks about. There will be a resurrection there, and there will be a second death. death. That'll be the judgment that they'll stand. But brothers and sisters, it says it's appointed unto man once to die. Now this is where we differentiate. It was appointed unto me to die. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Paul said this. Now I believe that I was crucified with Christ at Calvary. I no longer live in judgment. It was appointed unto me once to die. I was crucified with Christ. What am I saying? I died with Christ. I no longer live. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, them, the things not seen. So you can't sit and judge me in the perspective because you don't see it. But I see it by faith. And I speak it by faith. I believe, brothers and sisters, and it was a hope, but it's no longer a hope because it is manifested to me. Amen? I've passed from death unto life. I cannot die. It's like I've said in times past, somebody might walk through the door and say, man, preacher's out of his mind, and takes a rifle and blasts me all over the wall. They say, I got him. But Jesus said, don't fear that, man. Fear the one that can take your soul. That's not death. Just when they throw you in a box, Jesus made it very clear. It's not death. It's sleep. He talks about the forefathers that went on to sleep. He doesn't refer to it as death. When Lazarus was in the grave and Jesus come along and he said, oh, he's not dead. And he said, man, he stinketh by now. He's been there for 4 days. He said, oh, he's not dead. He said, he's asleep. And they couldn't receive that. So Jesus said, okay, so be it. According to your thinking, he's dead. He was dead to their understanding, but Jesus knew that he wasn't dead. It was sleep. So this is what we got to understand. Yes, I was crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. I no longer live. And judgment begins in the house of God. And this is what we're commanded. It said, the least of ye in the church. The least of ye in the house of God. It said, we'll judge all matters. It said, not to take our judgment to the people of this world. It said, the least of you could judge any of these matters. And it said that you'll what? Even judge the angels. Amen. The Bible said, discern the spirit. Try the spirit and see if it be of God. I've got to judge these spirits that come to my mind and come to my thoughts. I got to try those spirits and see if they'd be of God. You see, if a thought comes to me, it's by a spirit. Cast down every thought and every vain imagination that would exalt itself before the knowledge of God. I've got to judge these thoughts because some thoughts come from Satan. Some thoughts come from God. Some thoughts come from man, the human spirit. And you say, man, you sound like you're schizophrenic. You got too many thoughts going on in your head. Well, why would the Bible tell me to cast down a thought if it was only my thoughts or only his thoughts? We better start learning to discern what thoughts are. And the power of thought. Jesus said that he's the high priest of our confession. He could have said of your thoughts. Because from your thoughts comes forth out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. And whatever your confession is, brothers and sisters, you say, God doesn't heal today. He's not a healer for you. I say, my God's a healer. Hallelujah. And the healing is the children's bread. You see, that's the way I think. And this is the way I thought. And this is the way the word teaches. And guess what? He's a healer to me. But when you say he's not, he's the high priest of your confession. He's not a healer to you. When you say he's not alive today, you say he's not speaking to man today. He's not. You've just bound him up in heaven by your thought. You've bound him. Say, you can't bound God. Sure you can. I'll give you scripture for it. The Bible said that if you cannot forgive your brother in what you can't see, then you're going to bind up forgiveness in heaven because God can't forgive you. You see, you just bound up God. If you can't have forgiveness, he can't give forgiveness. Amen. So the thing is you bind him up. I remember saying some things here not too long back. I said, you know, you think you got the power to bind Satan? He's going to come and bound him for 1,000 years in a pit, but right now he's got the free power loose. We could make him flee and leave, but we're not going to tie him up. When we cast him out of a person, if we could bind him up and tie him up, we should do that because it said he's going to go out into the dry places seeking someone to inhabit. That's why we need to be girded up and prayed up in the Holy Ghost to be full of the power of God. Because when we're around and that spirit leaves, one, he'll come over and dwell in you. If you don't have that Holy Ghost protection and that hedge of protection around about you and full of the power of God, he'll move right into you. Well, I don't believe a Christian could be possessed by a devil. Well, you see, you got to understand some things there. He's not going to get in that spirit. Because once he gets into your spirit, brothers and sisters, then it's a possession and he owns you. But in the thing, when you go into the soul, and this is where the red dragon lays and the warfare lays and the travail, that has to do with the second heaven. There's a red dragon there trying to devour the child as soon as it's born. The child was caught away into the heavens and sealed in. The Bible teaches us in Revelation. It said immediately as he was born, he was caught away into heaven. And he was hid away there, brothers and sisters. There was a place prepared for the woman having to do with your flesh. And a place prepared in the wilderness. And that was by the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that place was prepared. You go to the first dimension, you can see when Jesus was birthed, there was a place prepared. They took him over to Egypt, showing the wilderness that he could stay there until this King Herod was done away with because he was slaying the firstborn of every child. And so that was the first dimension fulfillment. And when we go into the second, we find that when when we're born again, that child's immediately caught up in the Spirit. That's why it cannot sin. That's why it's perfect by the works of Christ, because it's sealed in there, hid away. The devil can't get there and can't touch it. But the place prepared for the woman was in the blood, and this woman was protected in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by that blood. And this is why Satan cannot do that. But the Bible said that the woman's saved in childbearing, and it also talks about a travail for the woman to bring forth the child. So there is a travail that lays there within the woman to bring forth this sonship or the Son of God. Now the thing is if we go and start differentiating the dimensions, we see Mary had faith. And an angel of the Lord came to her and spoke to her and said that she would bring forth, knowing that she'd never been with a man, knowing that she was a virgin and she was going to bring forth this child. Now this was a faith thing. Now here we are in another dimension, and I'm a man and I'm masculine in what you would say in the first dimension of my first birth by my father back here, coming forth from my father's loins, and I'm a man. But then yet he's coming for his bride, so we have to separate here these dimensions. So in that second heaven, in that dimension showing the bride, prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ by his bloodshed, made him clean without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. This is for she could be pure to go before the King of Kings. You go back to the first dimension again, into the Old Testament, into the allegories, the types and the shadows. You seen the woman had to be prepared before they would take him in before the king. And they went through ritualistics of cleansing and washing and all these things. They'd take him in before the king. And if the woman did bring forth a child, there was no heir. And in this dimension that you've been washed and purified and cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you go forth before the king. And if you don't bring forth the Son of God within you, then you're no heir. So you see, he said he made us joint heirs, brothers and sisters. The heir is the birthing of that child. And this is why we got to look and see what kind of fruit is coming forth. There's a dispute for the woman. The Bible's very clear about that. And the thing is that in that second dimension, Satan, darkness, is trying to utilize your body. The Bible said, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. Now, if you yield your members over to the things of this world and the lustly flesh, then you are of the devil. The Bible says your father's the devil. But if you yield your members over to righteousness and godliness and holiness and think on these things, then you have given your members over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's who you are of. So this is where this warfare's at in this second heaven, and a dispute for you, for your body, because both of these spirits have got to reproduce after their kind and they want to use you. Now, the thing is what kind of fruit are you bringing forth? You see, and then you know who you are of. If you're bringing forth fruit of the world, fruit of the flesh, then you are of the world, and there's no salvation in you. But if you're bringing forth fruits of righteousness, of godliness, and holiness, then that means that you've received that, and there's a spirit crying forth in you, Abba Father, and He is your heavenly Father. Amen. When we're looking at this travail realm in the second dimension, this is why there is works that's applied in that dimension. I know we're saved by grace, not by works that no man could boast. I'm saved by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. But the Bible says, make your calling and your election sure. I'm predestined in Christ. I'm commanded to bring that predestination forth. So the thing is Satan is a liar, and he came to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants to take and utilize this vessel. He wants to take and kill my faith and destroy my hope and everything, and he wants to use this vessel. You see, when the Lord Jesus said to Peter, what did he say to him? He said, get you behind me, Satan. But man, he's got the revelation of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ. He said, this wasn't revealed to you from the earth or the world or from man. This was revealed by God. Had this great revelation. And then just a few moments later, it wasn't many moments later. I don't know if it was minutes. I don't think it was long. He said, get you behind me, Satan. Well, what is he? Was he this man with great revelation, or was he Satan? Well, which one are you? You see, if you savor the things of the flesh, and you're in this worldly order and worldly mind, then your father's the devil. But if you would crucify that and kill the deeds of the flesh out and bring forth the righteousness of Christ, and you bring him forth and manifest the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and patience, and gentleness, and kindness, and you start bringing forth that fruit, that's the fruit coming forth from the womb of the woman, brothers and sisters, and it's the fruits of righteousness of Christ. If they're not there, then you're not of his. I remember bringing out something from the sacred desk not long back. I don't want it to sound offensive, but I mean, if you have a white wife and she brings forth a black child, and you know that she hasn't been faithful to you, you're not going to wonder who the child's the father is, are you? It's looking at an allegory, so to speak, but it's not hard to tell who the child's father is. You look at the child and you can see it. Its father's a black man. So, you know, there's no thing about it. Well, why not when we step into the next dimension? Why is it so hard for us to discern what the child and who the father of the child is? If there's wrath and malice and vengeance and envy and strife and drunkenness, drunkenness and idolatry and fornication and evil surmising and jealousies, that means your father's the devil. It's not hard to understand. But when you yield to the Spirit of God and it brings forth the seed after His kind, these two seeds are at enmity one with another. And when you bring forth the seed after His kind, brothers and sisters, then you have one that swears to their own hurt and suffers the wrong and is patient and gentle and kind and long-suffering. You see, this is the fruit of Christianity. And in that we find no sin, because we're walking in the power of God and in righteousness, and we're overcoming the things of the world. So we got to look and see who our children are and what is coming forth. And if the Son of God is coming forth in you, it's in all power and authority. We're not weak. We're not sissies. We're not walking around saying we're weak. The Bible said, let the weak say that they're strong. Change your confession. Jesus, I preached of your confession. Change your confession. Bless God, I know for a fact that I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God. I know that He filled me with His Holy Ghost. And if He filled you with His Holy Ghost, He filled you with His power. Power for what? Power to come out of the world. Amen. And if you're still in the world and frolicking in the world, then you're of the world. You got to come out of the world and be a separate people. Amen. I'm not of this world. I'm an ambassador for Christ, the Bible says. You see, what is an ambassador? Somebody that's from another land. I'm not of this world. This is not my world. The president is not my president. My king is the Lord Jesus. That sounds disrespectful, I know, but I've got another king. His name is Jesus. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I submit to Him and Him only. He is the supreme. He is the preeminent one. He is all power and all authority. And I submit to Him. Does that mean I dishonor the one on this earth? No. It means that I've got to walk among this land and try to keep myself from bringing reproach by submitting to the ordinances of this world, as long as they don't violate the commandments of God. But if they violate the commandments of God, then I'm going to have to submit these things just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, even if they're going to take an offer to kill me or throw me in the fire. I've got to have that same faith and same trust in God. You see, because I'm not of this world. If I'm an ambassador from heaven, that's what He said, we're ambassadors. So that means that I'm from heaven because I've been birthed in the Spirit. I'm from heaven because I was born before this world ever was. I'm from heaven because Jesus was crucified before the foundation of this world. I'm from heaven because I was leaping for joy with the sons of God before the world ever was. And I'm an ambassador. I come down here in this world walking in Christ. Amen. To bring the good news of the gospel to the people of this world. They're the ones that don't have hope and that are blind. And you say, can you really talk like this, preacher? Amen. I'm just telling you what He's done for me. And He's done the same thing for you. You see, we got to believe what He's done. And if He says we're ambassadors, then what are we an ambassador of? And where was we sent from? He said He was from heaven and condescended to men of a less estate. Why did He do that? For He could bring the invisible attributes of the Father that no man has seen into a manifestation, into a tabernacle that could be seen with eyes, that they could understand the invisible attributes of God and know that we're serving a good God and a just God and a righteous God. Amen. So this is what our calling is, to bring the same Spirit of God that dwelled within Jesus Christ, that raised Him up from the dead, to let it dwell within our mortal bodies, that it could quicken us and raise us up from the dead, that we could walk in the power and the authority of Christ. Amen. Christians aren't weak people. Christians aren't a bunch of these sissified things that just submit to everything. People say, well, you know, this is my Catholic brother and I love him. We're all serving the same God. Well, you might be serving the same God. I'm not serving the same Antichrist devil that they're serving to put him in hell. You know, that sounds strong, brother. Well, let me tell you something. We need to get our eyes open and find out what's going on in the layout of the C&D church and find out the condition that they're in and find out why God's going to bring judgment on this whole world. It's a small flock, few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it in. You know, go look at the history of God and judgments of God. Well, surely He didn't flood the whole world and only bring 8 people out. Surely He did. It's recorded in His Word, and if you believe His Word. Surely He didn't destroy all of Sodom and Gomorrah, the millions of people there, and only 4 people come out. Surely He didn't bring all the children out of bondage of Egypt and only bring 2 of them across into Canaan. He surely did. Only 2 of them that came out of Egypt. All the rest died in the wilderness, except the ones under 20 years old. It's recorded in the Word. And there's only 1 going out this time, and that's the sons of God. We are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Went 8, 4, down to 2, and now 1. And if you ain't bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and you ain't part of that many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't make it. It won't happen. What do you mean you won't make it? I've already made it. Amen? Because I speak by the Spirit. The Spirit is the one eternal day of the Lord. The Spirit is, there's no time. The angel stood with one foot on the land and the sea and said, the time is no more. Brothers and sisters, I'm living with God, dwelling with God. I'm eternal, and I can't die. It don't matter what happens to this. Someday you might plant me out here in some box someplace. That don't have nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I'm a Christian, born again, sealed in with Christ, and I pass from death unto life. What happens to that body would be numbered as sleep, and one day them elements will come forth in what the church calls a rapture. We say the Thessalonian change. We say the transfiguration. Yes, this thing, all them elements will come back together, but it won't be back in this image. It won't be that fallen image of iniquity and corruption. It'll come forth just as what in the saying of Jesus come forth in, and that's in that glorified body, brothers and sisters. That's not made with hands. It's not corruptible. It was sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. Sown in weakness and raised in power. Sown telestial, raised celestial. That's what the Bible says. We need to understand that. I'm not trying to make things complicated. People in the church will say, oh, I just want to know about Jesus and Him crucified. Praise God. You know, we learned that a long time ago. We learned that Jesus died for us and resurrected for us. The Bible commands us over in Hebrews not to even lay the foundation of repentance again. It commands us to go on into doctrine, doctrine of baptism. Doctrines of laying on of hands. And the church has got baptism all goofed up. Not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the religious order of America because of the Antichrist through Catholicism took in 321 and messed up the doctrine of baptism right then. If you read about the baptism they did in the book of Acts, find me a church that's doing that today. Well, there's one here, but I'm telling you, go find them out there. You go tell somebody to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ and they'll call you a cult. Had a Pentecostal preacher just the other day. He said, you Pentecostal holiness? I said, yes, sir. And he goes, you're not one of them that baptize in Jesus' name, are you? I said, sure I am. And he goes, well, I don't baptize in Jesus' name. And what other name is there given among men that there's authority and power? But the Catholic Church brought said, you baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, Jesus said He came in His Father's name. What is the Father's name? It's Jesus. What name has been given among men with power and authority? Jesus. When you pray, you can only pray in Jesus' name. He's the mediator between God and man. When you cast out devils, you can only do it in the name of Jesus. That is the authority and the power. And when you remit sin, the only way that you could remit sin is in the name of Jesus. And when they take you to a water hole and baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they lied to you. It said name, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What is that name? It's Jesus. There's no power in the name Father. There's no power in the name Son. There's no power in the name Holy Ghost. You understand that? The power is in the authority in the name of Jesus. But why don't they do that? This is the way they've done it in the book of Acts. The 11 were there. It says in the book of Matthew that the 11 were standing there before the Lord Jesus when He gave this great commission, said, go ye into all the world baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said. He said in the name. He didn't say N-A-M-E-S. He said N-A-M-E. But why aren't they doing that? Because it's doctrines of devils and they're in deception and they can't see good when good comes and they know that Satan, if he could blind them, that they're not going to get their sins remitted. And this is what's happened. They're just in religious games. We're speaking about the Nicolaitans. We read on here and it speaks about them. They're just people that are playing games with Christianity. We need to know who we are. This isn't a game. This is a life. This is not some kind of a religious sect. It is a life, brothers and sisters. The revealing of Christ within us, the hope of glory. Pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Reveal Christ in your life. Let Him live. Quit walking below your means. Quit poor mouthing and letting the world just knock you around. Quit letting the devil knock you around. Start speaking by the authority and the power of a living God. Amen. He's alive and He's well. He's here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read on just a little bit more. I need some help because I ain't got to where I wanted to go yet. And then we'll do some preaching. Okay, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. God said He hates something? Somebody told me not long back, said, you know, God doesn't hate. God's the God of love. Somebody says throughout several places in the Bible, is it? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. That's what the Bible says. And these were two children that were still in the mother's womb. How could this great God hate them? Because He looked down through predestination of time and saw the deeds of iniquity. And that's what God hates. He hates the deed of the Nicolaitans here. The people are just playing with God. It's an exhortation throughout the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blaspheming of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, and ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, where no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I'm going to stop there for a moment. Brothers and sisters, as we see here, the Lord's exhorting them in the good things that they've done. Every church, isn't it? He honors them in the good things that they're doing, but he also pointing out these other. Why? Because the churches are to expose the darkness. It's to expose the darkness, brothers and sisters. That's what these church messengers do. They see good in people's life, but a lot of times people, and we'll go on and you're speaking to one of the churches, says about being weighed in the balances and found wanting. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, this is a thought of standard day Christianity in its era. And this is what their thoughts is. They look at these scales of balances and they say, you know, I'm a Christian and man, I've put my tithes in. Well, it's pretty good over here in balances. You know, I've worked over at the church. Hey, I helped the widows. You know, I did some mission efforts. And they start looking at that. So then they think, well, I could go over here and commit some fornication. Well, I'll put a little more money in the church. Well, I could go over here and drink a little bit. I could snort a little bit. I could lie a little bit. I could smoke. And they think that they're being weighed like this, but it's not so. That's not the way it is. You see, the thing is, brothers and sisters, those deeds of the flesh and those things got to be killed and done away with. They've got to be done away with and killed out. Now, the thing is this is what these seven churches, these seven spirits of God, these seven messengers of God are exposing the errors of life, of human life, and bringing forth and calling forth the fruit of God life. See, you've got to make yourself twain, both Son of Man and both Son of God. Now the thing is the Son of Man found it necessary to go to the cross of Calvary and die. You have to find the same thing necessary. You say, well, he done that for me. And I say, yeah, he did. He did that for you and gave you power that you could do the same thing, because he said he was the firstborn of many brethren. And the same things that he done is what we do. Now it's different. If we're mortified or crucified all the day long, so does that mean I'm going to die today and they're going to bury me and I'm going to get out of the thing and you're going to do it again tomorrow? You see, it's different in this dimension. This is why we were speaking in the perspective when Jesus said, though you have eyes, you do not see. He wasn't talking about these eyes. He was talking about spiritual eyes. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches in the New Testament they'll put us to death all the day long. They'll trample the blood of Lord Jesus Christ under their feet. They'll reject this word that we're preaching and teaching because they've come into this day and hour of an ideology. They study on their own ideas and they've made God to be what they think he is. They've turned away from the God of the Bible. The Jesus that America Church is teaching is not the Jesus that came and died on the cross of Calvary for you. He set examples. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And the churches today are making queers and homos Christians. It don't work. It doesn't happen. It can't happen. The churches today, brothers and sisters, have got deacon boards that are running the churches that are no more than drunks and alcoholics and whoremongers and idolaters. But because they're financial strength and businessmen in the communities, they say, man, we're going to put you over because you could run a business down in town and you're successful at running business. You'll surely be successful helping us build our church. And you'll surely help us be successful on orchestrating our finances and our money. God isn't doing it that way, brothers and sisters. God takes the elements of nothing and he takes and makes something out of it because we speak by faith. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we speak it by faith. He wants to bring churches come forth out of faith. He wants to build them in the mind of God that they could see that it was not brought forth by corruptible hands. It was brought forth by prayer and the power of a living God. Amen? And it's not meant for deacons to command the churches and run the churches. They're servants under the pastor. Nowhere can a deacon have the authority in the Bible to fire a pastor. All they are is they're offended because he preached against their sinful lifestyle. You know, if the deacons are going to start putting preachers out, they're going to be putting out all the time. That's why the churches are a mess, because they're just rotating these hirelings. It's a job. The Bible said in the end times, they become hirelings. That's just a job. Hey, you know, well, we didn't like this guy. We're going to go ahead and try another one. A guy comes in and try, oh, yeah, we'll put you in now. That's a hireling. You can call whatever you want. If this offends you, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches and what we got to get our eyes open to. We walk with blinders on our eyes and we're afraid to look out there and see what's going on. This world is Satan's. These organized religion of this day and hour is just like it was in Jesus' day and hour. It was the religious people that crucified Jesus. It was the Sanhedrin that pulled together and went before the Roman, because the Romans took their power away that they couldn't put no one to death. So they had to go back and submit to the Romans. You want to blame it on the Romans? It was the Jews, the Sanhedrin, the religious people that done it. And it's the same way today. When you're full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God and you preach God's word and teach what Jesus Christ taught, they're going to call you a cult. And they're going to number you and they're going to put you to death. That's what they do. They took me off the radio because I was preaching the gospel. Well, you know, we can't preach against sodomites and homosexuals and things, you know, this day and hour. Put a man out of church not long ago and he went off over to another church. They say, you can't do that. Well, who says I can't do that? I have all authority and power. The Bible says you remove the talebearer and the strife will cease. There's all kinds of scriptures of doing these things. Mark them that walk disorderly. Number them. The Bible teaches very clear, openly rebuke them. Some people come to church and I openly offered reproof to a man, and the people got him walk out the door. What is the minister thoroughly equipped to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort with all long suffering? Open rebuke is better than secret love. They're commanded to do that, have to do that. You see, what kind of father is going to let the neighbor kid come over and play at his house? If you got a little 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old boy and the neighbor kid's coming over and he's pulling out pistols and spinning a dial and stuff like that, I think if you're any kind of a reasonable father, you're going to do something about, hey, this guy's bringing harm. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And you let evil communications come around your children and things and you say this and that. I mean, all these things are coming to your children. If you're any kind of a father, you're going to be judging the situation. You're going to say, son, I'm sorry, your little buddy ain't welcome to come over here no more. Oh, come on, daddy's just my friend. Everything's so innocent in people's mind. But you see, when they're corrupting their children in their homes and they're taking them to Sunday schools that are corrupting their minds, and then you bring them into fellowshipping with your children, evil communications corrupt your good children. You see, we need to be guarding over what our children are learning. What's being taught in the Sunday schools? What's being taught in the school system? You know, we're sending our kids to public schools and they're telling them, oh, that sodomy is an alternate lifestyle. The main man down here in Guilford County, he was one of the head administrators over Guilford County, and he said that all of the women coaches were lesbians. And he might not be right when he said all, but I'm telling you what, there must be a bunch of them. So what do you think kind of mind's going to come forth from them? I just got a report of people calling for marriage counsel. And the man that's in all this marital problems right now, his coach in school that was his tennis coach was molesting him for years. And now he's in all these marital problems going through his marriage, and marriage is busting up and stuff. Yeah, that's what we're going to send our kids off to. Well, you're going to just talk about the extreme things. Brothers and sisters, there's another mind that's going forth. There's another mind going forth in the education system that isn't the mind of God. And they're programming your children through their curriculums out there. And they're degenerating in their minds and the way that they think. And telling them that all these other lifestyles are just a choice. It's a choice of heaven or hell is what it is. The Bible's very clear that no drunkard, no liar, these sodomites are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We can't go to churches and think that, you know, we can party and drink and snort and lie and cheat and we just come into the altars and, oh God, have mercy on me, forgive me. There's no more sacrifice for that sin. That's what our Bible teaches. When you know it's wrong, you can't come plead the blood of Jesus on that. That's Catholic doctrine. That's the dude in the box that you go to and say, Father, I've sinned, forgive me. And he says, count your beads and sell your Hail Marys. When you know it's wrong to snort and to lie and to cheat and to smoke and to fornicate and all those things, there is no blood sacrifice for that. That's what the Bible says. Remaineth no more sacrifice. You got one thing to look forward to, the fiery indignation of God. Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. Read it for yourself. It's very clear there. So that means I'm going to hell if I go out into those things? You keep on walking in those things, you surely will. You can't plead the blood on it. If you are a child of God, he said he chastens them that he loves, and you're going to go by the way of the whipping post on this side. The Bible said he chastens them that he loves. This is where reproof comes from the church. Rebuke comes from the church, from the ministry of God. Judgment begins in the house of God. And if the judgments of God's going forth, then you're going to turn away from it. You got to turn. The Bible said, you know that the minister is called of God for one reason. He turns people away from their sin. And if you're not preaching against sin, then you must not be called of God. So what we have to do, brothers and sisters. I didn't get to where I wanted to go, but let's stand together. Many of you sat there with hunger in your hearts and things, would sit there for some time and let us continue on. And I appreciate that. But we'll have another service in another time. And if the Lord will help us, we can go on. Let's get serious with God, brothers and sisters. Let's get out of this religious ideologies and religious games. And let's get in the Word and learn the Word of God. The Bible talks about men that think too highly of themselves, thinking they know something. Know nothing whatsoever at all. I was one of them. Brothers and sisters, I was walking in the religious realms, was ordained in the churches out there, and I was walking in that to the best I knew. I'd love the Lord and knew God, and there's many ministers out there that love God. But I was blind to the revelation of the Lord. I was blind to the kingdom of God. And I entered into this religious wandering. But I thank God that I got my eyes opened up to the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord. I'm small in God. I'm not going to present myself as some great theologian or somebody great in understanding of God's Word. I do rejoice in the fact that God speaks to my heart and He lives and dwells within me and has given me the authority and power to keep myself unspotted from the world. Amen. And I rejoice in the Lord for that. But the thing is when I look at the greatness of God and His understanding and His revelation, I feel small. I feel so small in Him. But brothers and sisters, I could look out here at the religious order and this world, and I know who I am in Christ, and I know that somebody needs to be crying out as a still small voice crying out. These things need to be going forth. Stephanie's taking these messages and doing some minor editing on these things, and they're going forth. Irene showed me a map the other day. We got this message going out throughout all the world, everywhere. We got it in Asia. We've got it over in, what was that last country? It's over there. But it's going forth, and that's what we could do. The Bible says to write it, put it in a book, and send it to the churches. Amen. So we do our part, what we can. Just pray for us and help us, allow you to. Help us do whatever you can in the way of getting the gospel forth. Amen. Let's know who we are in Christ. Let's be bold, brothers and sisters. Let's not be these limp-wristed, sissified Christian that are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Make a stand. Don't be ashamed of your doctrine of Christ. Don't start trying to compromise. The Bible said if they preach any other gospel than what the Lord Jesus Christ preached, said, let them be accursed. Amen? You know, so the thing is if they're preaching something other than the Lord Jesus preached, let them go, brothers and sisters. Who are you to find fault with God if He makes one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? You know, we can't find fault with Him. He's God. And He is drawing them that are going to be His. And it's our obligation to glean the elect of God. It's coming down to the ends. And I'll tell you, the grace is, which I've started to speak about earlier, this grace, when it comes off the mercy seat, then it goes back to the Jew. The blood will go to the horse's bridle. And there's going to be a big battle of Armageddon there. And you say, well, where will we as the church going to be at? Where we're already at. We're already caught away and sealed in with Christ. Nothing could touch us or be held to our charge. We're sealed in. You see, you just have to learn to understand the things of the Spirit. As I was speaking at the beginning of the service, we look out here and we see things that we could see, touch, and hold of the five senses of the flesh. But there's an active spirit world. And there is a spirit world dwelling within you. The Spirit of Christ dwelling within you. And the thing is when you yield your members to that, He has His move in you. You see, if it's no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking, it's because the minister chose to shut his mouth and said, declared that he knew nothing whatsoever at all. And now that Christ lives and said, here I am, God, use me. And then you find the ministry of God speaking. And I will say this is your standing and closing thought. Go all the way back to the beginning. When the man said, do you believe, Brother Rob, that an angel of the Lord came? Do you believe that it could have been an angel that came here? As my child was dying to encourage my wife and I said, sure I do. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I've been in places where God would, by the discerning of spirit or a word of knowledge, grant me an understanding about somebody in a despair or in a sorrow or in a weight or in a burden and speak to me and say to pray for them. See, that wasn't my idea. It was His idea. It's His thoughts. And when I went over to them and said, brother, sister, mister, miss, may I pray with you for just a moment? And pray with them and go on my way. That was a visitation of an angel. Beware when you entertain strangers unawares. It's an angel. See, there's the angel of the Lord dwelling in us. When these seven spirits of God manifested in these churches, they were ministers, brothers and sisters, that were walking in a fleshly body just like you've got. Just like the Son of Man came and walked, but his was not come by the loins of man. But this one was being cleansed and purified by the first, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was a message that was brought forth by men, but they were the angel of God, the seven spirits of God dwelling within them. When we declare that we no longer live and it's him living, then it's the angel of the Lord that's speaking forth with all authority and power. You see, some of the brethren knew that when Paul spoke to the man and he went blind, when Peter said, you're standing at the feet of them that carried out your spouse, and they fell over dead. You see, that's authority and power, brothers and sisters. The power to remit or retain sin lays within the sons of God. So we need to be careful. Well, I guess I come to a revelation today. I went to church on Sunday. I'm going to go out and tell everybody at work I'm a God. Well, go ahead and get ready to get crucified just like he did, because that's exactly what they'll do. You see, brothers and sisters, you got to be careful speaking things of such. I'm not ashamed of what I teach, but I say you have to be careful because they don't have eyes to see. Why did Jesus, when they come forth and he laid hands on them and they rose up from the dead, or they were lame and walking, he said, go and tell no one. Why did he do that? Because he knew it wasn't time yet. Because the revelation of who he was wasn't really revealed. You see, just when a minister lay hands on sick or people are delivered from cancer and diseases and afflictions, does that make him God? No. That's the reign of God on the just and the unjust. I prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name. He said, I never knew you. That's not what makes him the Son of God. The Bible, if you go on through the book of Revelation, it talks about the Antichrist working miracles. You see, just because you see these TV evangelists, and yeah, there are some miracles. Not all of them are lies. Most of them are lying miracles, but there are miracles that happen. That doesn't vindicate that they're of God. You see, that's the rain coming on the just and the unjust. I told that individual, yeah, give the glory and honor to God. It was an angel. It may have been one manifesting in a man that came in and he felt the burden of the despair on a husband and wife losing their child and prayed with them. It has no difference. When a man of God takes you to the water and says, I hereby baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. There's no different than the Lord Jesus Christ doing it himself, because your sins were remitted and put as far as the east is from the west. Amen. He commanded. That was the last thing he asked us to do, to go ye into all the world, baptizing them. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that name's Jesus. The 11 that were there with him, it's recorded right there, the 11 were with them. And you go and read in the book of Acts, and they went forth and they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Not one place recorded in the book of Acts is the early church. And the reason that Jesus said it that way that he did, because if you go back just a few verses from 28:19, he said there were some unbelievers there, and he never brought anything to himself. He pointed it all back unto the Father, everything he did. Amen. Back to the Spirit. All right, let's sing a song or two. The altars are open, and we close the service. There ain't nothing, brothers and sisters, that's greater than God or more powerful. He could take alcohol addiction away, tobacco addiction away. He could take and clear lust and clean you life up and make you pure and holy and godly and righteous. Because he's an awesome God, a just God, a powerful God. Amen. Pray that God would fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost, that you could walk as an overcomer. Amen. The Bible said it's ye that endure to the end are saved. Amen. We can't talk about someday we said a fancy prayer or we felt goosebumps on the back of our neck. We need to endure to the end. That means we keep ourselves unspotted from the things of the world. Come out of the world, the Bible said. Be a separate people. The Bible said a good soldier for Christ, amen, keeps himself unspotted from this world and keeps himself out of the affairs of this world, not being entangled of this world, amen. Hallelujah. Are you a good soldier for Christ? Thank you, Lord Jesus. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, amen. We take the sword of the Spirit, amen. Hallelujah. We are the sons of God, the children of God. We are birthed into the kingdom of God. We are birthed, joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. He's given us everything that pertaineth unto life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we thank you and praise you for what you've done for us. You can't earn this by your works. But when you have what I'm talking about, that faith will produce works or that faith is dead. There will be works in a son of God's life. And his thoughts will be established because he committed his works unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Let the weak say that they're strong. Renew that strength and say, you know what? I'm more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. I can conquer the lust of this world, the pride of this life. Hallelujah. And I can walk in the power and in the victory of a living God. Hallelujah. Let's get real with God.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the Brothers and Sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.